Hey, welcome to the Shiur HaMikdavah, Parshiyos Achrei Moson Kedoshim. Want to see tonight really three things. A brief yesod that the HaMikdavah repeats over here, something we saw before in the Parshiyos at the end of Sefer Shmos, talking about the difference between the Aron and the Menorah. I want to see a very basic concept that the Netziv develops here at great length and comes back to numerous times throughout later on in Chumash about Chukim and Mishpatim, and then to see finally a approach that the Netziv has to the Seder, to the order in Parshas Kedoshim. You know, why the mitzvahs that are mentioned are the mitzvahs that are indeed mentioned. He tries to give us a little bit of a framework for understanding that very famous Seder Shirov Gufei Torah Tzluyim Ba. You know, that the majority of the major parts of Torah are somehow dependent on that. So I want to start with a comment that the Netziv makes in Peret Tazayin, Pasuk Tazayin, describing the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. It says that when Aaron HaKohen, or the Kohen Gadol, is bringing about the atonement, he's doing the Avodah on Yom Kippur, says, V'chiper al HaKodesh, he should atone on the Kodesh, which in this context means the Kodesh HaKodashim, the innermost part of the Mishkan, Mitumos B'nei Yisrael V'Kishayim L'chol Chatosam, he should purify the Kodesh HaKodashim from the impurities of B'nei Yisrael and from all of their sins. V'chein Yase L'Oel Moed, and just as he brings about Kapara for the Kodesh HaKodashim, he should similarly bring about Kapara for the Oel Moed, for the tent, for the Mishkan as a whole, Hashochen Yitom B'Sof Tumosam, that dwells with them in the midst of their Tumah. The Pasuk over here is referring to two different activities, the Kapara Al HaKodesh and the Kapara on Oel Moed. What exactly is the difference between these two things? So if you look in Rashi, Rashi writes that V'chein Yaseh Li Oel Moed, in that Pasuk, Rashi writes, Kishem Shehizo Mishneim Bifnim, Achas Lemailo V'Achas Lemato, just as he sprinkles from the dam of the par and the dam of the sawyer, the dam of the blood of the bull and the blood of the goat, just as he sprinkles one time and then seven times inside the Kodesh HaKodashim itself, Kach Mazel HaParochas Mibachutz Mishneim, Achas Lemailo V'Sheva Lemato. So too, he should follow the same procedure when he goes outside of the Kodesh HaKodashim and he's standing facing the parochas, the curtain which distinguishes between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim, a similar act of atonement. Now, so in other words, basically, again, just the Pasuk in Rashi is saying that there's a need to treat the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim as being separate from one another. When it says V'chiper al HaKodesh, that means he should do this activity which brings about a kapara in the Kodesh HaKodashim. And when it says V'chein Yaseh L'Oel Moed, what it means is the area of the Oel Moed which is immediately outside of the Kodesh HaKodashim, i.e. the area of the Kodesh. Right? So he should do this procedure in the Kodesh HaKodashim. He should also do this procedure in the Kodesh. Right? Understanding that distinction is very, very important for the idea that the Netziv is going to lay down over here. There are two identical procedures, but one done in the Kodesh HaKodashim, one done in the Kodesh. So in commenting on this, the Netziv notes that the Oel Moed, which again, remember, in our context means the Kodesh as opposed to the Kodesh HaKodashim, the area immediately outside of the Parochas, the Kodesh is described as Hashochein Itam B'Soch Tum Osam, that dwells with them in the Jewish people, with the Jewish people in the midst of their tumah. And the Netziv wants to know why that phrase is used specifically with regard to the Oel Moed / the Kodesh as opposed to the Kodesh HaKodashim. Right? In other words, on some level, the phrase is modifying the presence of God, Hashochein Itam B'Soch Tum Osam, that God dwells with them in the midst of their tumah. But then it's placed in the pasuk in such a way that it's modifying Oel Moed. Right? V'chein Yaseh L'Oel Moed,
Hashochen itam b'soch tumosam. Why isn't the Kodesh also described as Hashochen itam b'soch tumosam? Why bring that in with regard to the Ohel Moed? So the Netziv comments as follows: Hashochen itam b'soch tumosam. Hadrash yadu avitars kohan v'gmar yuma. Sha'afo gav shem tzmeim shchina shruya b'neim. Even though the Jewish people are tamei, the shchina nonetheless is among us. Badavar sorech bir. It requires understanding why the Ohel Moed, the Kodesh, is described in such a fashion, more so than the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Ochein kvan is far v'pashus tzav v'kama mekomos. The korach hatar sheba'ara and hoya latar shebiksav are latara sheba'alper laharas halacha lemaisa b'svara v'dimoy milsa l'milsa k'disa b'basra dapkof lamed. Right? We know, says the Nitzim, and again we saw this back in Parashat Sabbath, but he reiterates it and he kind of gives it a new sense over here. There are two kalim in the Mishkan and later in the Beis Hamikdash that represent Torah. The Aron in the Kodesh HaKodashim represents Torah, and the Menorah in the Kodesh represents Torah. But the Shaila is, why do you need two Kalim to represent the same thing? So the Netziv develops the idea that there are two aspects of Torah. There's Torah in the sense of the revealed Torah, you know, the bottom line, this is what you gotta do. Either the Torah Shebiksav, or the Torah Shebaalpeh, to the extent to which simple halachas are being taught. You know, the idea that tefillin have to be black is part of the Torah Shebaalpeh as opposed to Torah Shebiksav, but it's a straightforward cut and dry fact. It's not, you know, if someone got up and gave a shiur, do the ritzuos of tefillin have to be black? It would be a really short shiur. The answer is yes. There's not much to discuss. There's not much to talk about. Interestingly enough, with the batim, there is more to discuss. There is more to talk about. It's not poshut that the batim has to be black. But again, that's for another discussion. But you know, that's what the aron represents. The aron represents the bottom line, you know, facts of Torah, which don't lend themselves to discussion. In contrast, says the Netziv, the menorah is the idea of chiddush, the idea of novelty within Torah, the idea that we can come up with creativity in Torah. That's what's represented by the menorah. What's that? Okay, so we'll get there. Ktores comes to refer to the idea of gemilas chasodim, the pleasantness of ktores. Gemilas chasodim has a pleasantness associated with it. The gama shulchan bo l'shefa parnasa b'shvil achzakas lom de Torah. The shulchan, which we call is also in the Kodesh, comes to hint at the idea of parnasa. Me'ata muvon de mirames lano de koach hakdusha shebekodesh hakodashim vaday einu el b'shoshi yisrael zakoyim. So comes now the Netziv and says you should know that which is in the Kodesh HaKodashim is not always with the Jewish people. We're not always zocha to the powers that are associated with the Kodesh HaKodashim. Right? The Jewish people have to be on a certain madrega in order to be zocha to the koach of Torah which is associated with the Aron, the clarity that's associated with the Aron. The Aron represents Torah in all of its clarity, in a clear understanding. This is the way it is. This is the way it's supposed to be. We're not always zocha to that kind of clarity. And for that reason, during the Bayesheni period, when the Jewish people taka were not in such a madrega of tzidkus, right? You know, during the Bayesheni period, it was characterized mostly by Kohanim Gedolim who switched every year because they died on Yom Kippur every year, right? Because of that, the Aron was absent in the second Beis HaMikdash. They didn't have that clarity of connection to Torah. Aval kedushas pilpula shel Torah shebo'ol el moed. But the items in the Kodesh, those lasted forever. Even when the Jewish people were at a lower madrega of connection to God. So the notion of pilpul shel Torah, the notion that the Jewish people, even if we don't have such a clarity in Torah, but we're connected to the ongoing creativity involved in Torah, we're coming up with chidushei Torah, and we discuss Torah, and we may not get it right, but we're trying. In other words, we have the conversation about Torah. That's something that goes with us. You know, who shibo el moi hu ahecho shochin la'olam, that lasts forever. Umashkin hashchino b'Yisrael afilu k'shein tmeim, and that power of pilpula shel Torah, the back and forth of Torah, the creativity of Torah, the discussion of Torah, lends and enables the Shechina to come into Klal Yisrael even when we're tamei. The alzeh chelik Torah isa b'brachos daf chav beis and divrei Torah mekabel tumah nemar halo kol devari koesh. Concerning that, the Gemara says in Brachos that words of Torah can never be mekabel tumah. In context, the Gemara is using it to explain why nowadays we don't care that even someone's a Baal Keri and can go and learn Torah. We're just not concerned about it. But the Netziv is taking the idea more broadly. He's saying even when the Jewish people are mired in sin and the like, we're never distanced from the pilpula shel Torah, from the ability to be creative in Torah, to try to work out Torah, to try to understand. We may not be zocher to have the clarity which is associated with the Aram, but you know, to be involved and to be invigorated by the act of creativity in Torah, of discussion of Torah, that's something which is associated with the menorah, and that's something which is ultimately eternal. Right? If you recall back in Parshas Tetzaveh, then Netziv said that that's why the menorah has a special connection to Bayis Sheni. Right? What happened during the Bayis Sheni period? The miracle of Hanukkah, which happened with the menorah. And the menorah even outlasts the Beis HaMikdash. We no longer have a Beis HaMikdash, but we still light the menorah every Chanukah. Again, it's obviously not the same menorah as from the Beis HaMikdash, but the symbolism of the menorah stays with us, because the symbolism of the menorah, of Pilpula Shel Torah, is what has kept us going, you know, throughout the long years in Golos. Now you ask, you know, why does the menorah dafka symbolize the creativity in Torah, whereas the Aron represents sort of the clarity, the, you know, direct revelation of Torah, which, I mean, just think about, you know, how they both function. The Aron has the Luchos in it. It is God's Word in the very literal sense of the term. The menorah doesn't contain any revelation from God. And as opposed to the Aron, which just sits there, the menorah is kindled by human beings. Right, it's the human being who lights the menorah and brings forth the light from the menorah. So the symbolism of the menorah is Torah, in which human beings take a role, not just the clear revelation of Torah, which is the Aron, in which we play a passive role, but in the menorah we play an active role in terms of bringing out the chidushim, trying to understand, using the human intellect to be able to bring forth the light of Torah, and that power has stayed with the Jewish people, you know, throughout the millennia. So he writes, the Hoshal the Anuak. So again, I'm going to leave that piece there. But basically, just bringing it back to the pasuk, the Netziv writes, it's not for naught that the phrase Hashochin Yitom B'Soch Tumosam is only used with regard to the Oel Moed, i.e. the Kodesh, because whereas the symbolism of the Kodesh HaKodashim is not Shochein Itam B'Soch Tumasam, right? The Aron will not always be with the Jewish people. In contrast, the menorah and that which is in the Oel Moed, i.e. the Heichal, the menorah, etc., that's Shochein Itam B'Soch Tumasam, that's going to go with us wherever we go, even when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore. You know, the power of the menorah is going to go with us. The power of Pilpula Shel Torah is going to go with us. And in that sense, you know, it really carries us through thick and thin wherever we happen to find ourselves in Jewish history. Again, a beautiful thought that the Netziv to some extent has already articulated back in Parshas Tetzaveh, but I wanted to bring it in here because, again, he reiterates in the context of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. I wanted to move on to a major yisod that we haven't seen yet in the Netziv, but it's one that he develops here in Parshas Acharimos, and then he comes back to this yisod many, many other times later on in his commentary. So in Perek Yud Ches, Psukim Dalet and Hey, Es mishpotai ta'asu. Es chukosai tishmeru l'leches bohem. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. You should do my mishpotim and guard my chukim to walk in them. I am Hashem your God. Okay, so there's mishpatim and there's chukim. What are mishpatim and chukim? So we all know, and Rashi quotes it just in case we forgot, right? So Rashi writes this mishpatai tasu elu dvarim hamurim b'Torah ba mishpat shilu lo nemru hayukedai la omron. Things that are said in the Torah b'mishpat. In other words, the way Rashi uses it over here, things that are in the Torah that are somewhat intuitive. In other words, even if they weren't said by God, we would intuit that they make sense. Those don't kill, don't steal, you know, things of that nature. Mishpatim, right? Yes, chukosai tishmeru. What are my chukim? Dvarim shem gzeras hamelech. Things which are divine decree and are not intuitive. She etzahara meshiv aleihem lama lo lishomrom. The etzahara says what? Pork? Why can't I have pork? Right? You know, the nations of the world make fun of them. And they say, what are you not eating pork? What are you not putting on shatnez? What do you have to use mechatos to be metame from a mace? Right? A classic definition. Mishpatim are, you know, what the Rishonim refer to as mitzvahs. Sichlios, obvious, intuitive, rational mitzvahs, and chukim are mitzvahs shimios, mitzvahs that are beyond rational. They're not irrational, but they defy rationality. They are not based on rationality. That's the classic definition of mishpatim and chukim. Rashi states it here. It's a Gemara in Yuma, it's a Taras Kohanim. And Rashi says that that's what's being discussed here in this pasuk. Fine, good. But then we read the next pasuk, and we get a little bit more confused. Ushmartem es chukosai ves mishpotai. You should guard my chukim and my mishpotim. Asher yasa osam ha'adam v'chai bohem. That which man does and lives through them. Ani Hashem, I am God. What does pasuk hey add that we didn't already know from pasuk dal?
Besides the reverse order.
Right. So first of all, very significant. This second pasuk flips chukim and mishpatim, right? But other than that, it doesn't really seem to add anything in particular. The last pasuk said, you know, keep the mishpatim and the chukim, and this pasuk says, keep the chukim and mishpatim. Oh, okay, do it backwards. Okay, kabbalistic. Right. So okay. So then, right. Right. So then, what does that mean, though? What's the difference between tahasu and tishmeru, right? And this phrase asher yasa osam ha'adam v'chai bohen, you know, to follow these mitzvahs that man shall perform and live through them, is a phrase that sounds very poetic, but you know, is not readily understandable. Again, you know, we know all the drashas. Chazal make many drashas. Rashi brings the drashas. You know, v'chai b'hem, lo shi'amus b'hem. You know, there's a concept of pikuach nefesh. You have to, you know, you have to violate most mitzvahs in order to save your life. Okay, but you know, on the level of pasuk pshat, the types of the pasuk. What does it mean? You know, these are the mitzvahs that a person should do and live through them. It seems like a flowery phrase that doesn't really have any obvious simple meaning. So comes the nitziv in pasuk hey, and he says, "Zeh mikra l'fi apshat nira miyuta." Right? I mean, this whole pasuk. Pasuk hey seems to be extraneous. It really seems to be just a rehash of what we just had a pasuk ago in pasuk dalet. And also, you know, again, as it was pointed out here a few moments ago, the switching, where the first pasuk speaks of mishpatim and chukim, and the second pasuk speaks of chukim and mishpatim, seems significant, but what is its significance? Right? So, I'm just skipping down a little bit. Elakacho inyan. You know, in the Nitziv, it's maybe, you know, if you have the fancier editions, that's on the right-hand column, 9 lines in. Kacho inyan. Let me explain this to you. The Hoshana Regil Mefarish Alpiyah Taras Kanan Gemara Yuma Hanal Mishpatim Mitzvah Sheish Bam Tam V'chukim Mitzvah Shasatim Meishiv Aleim. Ask any child, he'll tell you the difference between chukim and mishpatim. Again, as we said before, chukim are mitzvahs that defy rationality. Mishpatim are mitzvahs that are very rational, right? But that definition, which again goes back to the Gemara and goes back to the Midrashim, and Rashi cites it over here,
The Eino Elo B'makom D'Ksiv Mishpatim B'chukim. Those words only mean that when the Mishpatim are mentioned in the Pasuk before the Chukim, which makes a certain degree of sense, meaning, you know, rational and, you know, non-rational mitzvahs, Mishpatim and Chukim. Avo B'chol Makom D'Ksiv Chukim U'Mishpatim. But if it's switched with the Chukim first, so then when we talk about Chukim Mishpatim, that phrase means something entirely different. It wouldn't make sense to speak of the non-rational mitzvahs before speaking of the rational mitzvahs. There are other mekoros in Chazal, right? Again, mostly Sifri, but he quotes one Gemara where there's an alternative explanation given for Chukim Mishpatim. That's as follows. Eilu ha-chukim, eilu ha-midrashos. Chukim refers to midrashos. We'll define that in a minute. V'ha-mishpatim, eilu ha-din. I'm sorry? Eilu ha-dinim. These are the laws. Right? Chukim refers to the midrashos, which we'll define in just a minute. And mishpatim refers to the din. Pirush. Chukim heimo hamidos shatora nechkekes bohen. A chok literally means that which is hewed out, right? Lachakok. And he says the definition of chukim is principles. Midos shatora nedreshes bohen. Eich ledrosh lahosim idiyuk hamikra halacha shalom isparshu. Right? He brings the Gemara in Krisus, where Chukim also means Midrashos. And as Midrashos, he understands, means the principles by which to derive Torah laws. V'ha Mishpatim, Elu Hadinim, Mishpatim refers to laws, meaning Shenechkeru Alpia Chukim. The product of the application of the Chukim is the Mishpatim. You take the Psukim, you apply the Chukim to the Psukim, right? It rhymes nicely also, right? You connect the Chukim to the Psukim, and you get the Mishpatim. In other words, you apply the principles, the hermeneutic principles. Hermeneutic was the guy who used to sit in back and be Alistair Kishol, right? So you apply the hermeneutic principles to the Psukim, and you're able to derive dinim from the psukim by way of hamida shatar and edveshes for him, right? And you know, in that sense, the ordering of chukim and mishpatim makes perfect sense. First, you have the general principles, and then you have the pratim, the actual laws that are learned out from that. Right? He brings a couple more examples of that. I'm just going to try to skim through that for a moment. Right, so just bringing that back to our pasuk for a moment, let's now understand, just on the simplest of levels, the seeming redundancy of the psukim. So pasuk dalid es mishpatai tasu es chukosai tishvur olaches bohem means you should keep all the different types of mitzvahs, whether mishpatim, meaning laws that are rational, as well as chukim, laws that are not immediately rational, laws that are non-rational. That's pasuk down. But then pasuk hey comes and tells us something totally different, even though it's using the similar words. Ushmartem es chukosai ves mishpatai. You should guard the system of Torah interpretation, namely, hold on and absorb the midos shatar and idreshes for him, the chukim, and use them to derive mishpatim, right? So such that our pasuk hey is not so much focusing in the simple pshat, the way the Nitziv understands it. It's not so much focusing on the observance of mitzvos, but rather on limud haTorah, right? Ushmartem es chukosai ves mishpatai is a pasuk that's talking about limud haTorah, and limud haTorah requires two stages: the guarding and proper application of the principles, as well as the, you know, proper understanding of those laws, which are going to be derived by virtue of those principles. Yeah.
I have another question. I'm putting the other question.
Okay.
No, I have another question.
Oh, okay.
I was going to ask, So when you say chum, you literally mean chukim here, because shatnez, do we learn principles from shatnez?
No, so again, so the word chukim means two different, two totally different things. The word mishpatim means two totally different things. Okay. Right? A chok, when the Torah, again, the basic yesod that Itziv is saying is valid. When the Torah says mishpatim v'chukim, it means rational laws and non-rational laws. When the Torah says chukim u'mishpatim, it means principles of elucidation. It has nothing to do with chukim like shatnez. It's a totally different usage of the word. And mishpatim means all of the laws that you will learn out from the elucidation of those principles.
You might give application.
Yeah, in other words, if I, you know, the chok would be a kal v'chomer, the mishpat would be a din that you learn out through a kal v'chomer. Right? The chok would be a gzeira shava, right? And the mishpat would be a specific din that you learn out by the application of a gzeira shava. Right? And that's chok u mishpat, you know, the way that is understood. We have chok and mishpat.
Like Rabbi Shmuel.
Right, exactly, the Rabbi Shmuel, right? The Yudgim Omidash Atar Midrash is fine.
The menorah, not the
arm. Right, the menorah, not the arm. Right, exactly. To go back to his previous idea. So where that leaves us is trying to understand the second phrase in this pasuk: Asher yaseh osam ha'adam v'chai bohem. What exactly does that mean? Right. So I wanna skip through the nesiv a little bit. So first of all, towards the top of page Kuf Pe Gimel, Omnam b'zeh amikro shanu omdu bo shtayim zu shamayu b'peirusha. Echad hu apirish shibuchol makam d'ksiv chuk mishpatim shu eisek ha-Torah. We've just explained that the concept of chukim mishpatim is a limud ha-Torah concept. It's not a concept of shmiras ha-mitzvus. It's a concept of how to learn chukim mishpatim, the principles and the laws that are derived from those principles. And he says that fits in beautifully with the brisa which is quoted in the Gemara. Hachi peirush brisa shibataras kohanim v'huva v'sanedrin dafim tes. Right? It's also a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says asher yasa osam ha'adam v'chai bohem. These are the mitzvahs that a person does and lives through them. Says the Gemara, kohanim lo ne'mar. Right? It doesn't say in the pasuk that the Kohen should do these mitzvahs, or that a Levi, or that even a Jew should do these mitzvahs. It says ha'adam, a human being. And we see from this pasuk, says the Gemara, afilu goy va'osek ba'Torah harehu k'kohen gadol. That even if a non-Jew learns Torah, he's in the category of a kohen gadol. Now again, Tosis over there asked the kasha, I thought a non-Jew is not supposed to be learning Torah. Leave that aside for a moment. Tosis answers the kasha. But what's relevant for us in our discussion is the following. That brisa is quoting our pasuk for a source for the idea that the non-Jew, not that he can keep mitzvahs, is quoting our pasuk as a source for the idea that the non-Jew can learn Torah. Asher yase osam ha'adam v'chai bohem. It doesn't talk about a Jew being ose osam, it talks about an adam, a person being ose osam. So you have to ask the kasha, wait a minute. But the pasuk doesn't talk about limud ha'Torah. The pasuk says yase osam. Where did you get the idea that we're talking about a guy who's learning Torah? Maybe say, Asher yasa osam ha'adam, that even if a guy follows mitzvahs, he's kikoing gadol. Where did you get the idea that it's talking about limud ha'Torah? So says the Nitziv, clearly, the Braisa learns this pasuk like I do. In other words, I'm not making this idea up. This is pshat in pasuk, at least as we see into the Braisa. Ushmartam chukosai mishpatai. You should guard, you know, my principles of Torah study, asher yasa osam ha'adam v'chai bohem, those principles that a person can use for learning. Yasa doesn't necessarily mean doing in the action-oriented sense of the term. It's totally acceptable to use the verb asiya in the sense of learning, as we see from that Gemara. That afilu goy va'osik batara is related to this pasuk asher yasa osam ha'adam v'chai bohem. Right? The Nitziv elaborates on that a little bit. And here I just want to
skip forward a little bit on the section that begins Dibur Maschil Asher Yaseh Osam, and then into that paragraph he makes the following point: Avol the Pirish Ha'echad Dekoy Al Esek Hatar Pirish Yaseh. What's the definition of Asiyah from this perspective? Yechadesh Halacha Al Yedei Omek Iyuno Lefi Klali Hatar Yedirga Umios Midos VaHavayos HaTalmud. Asiyah, it's on page Kuf Pei Gimel, about halfway down on the left hand side. Aval Lepirish Ha'echad. So he says the Netziv, the word La'asos, to do, can mean an act of intellectual creativity. It doesn't have to mean physical doing or physical making or anything like that. When a person sits and he learns Torah and he uses his creativity to come up with chidushim based on his application of the Yud Gimel Midos, that's called asiyo. That's called doing something. That's called making something. Right? And he says, I'll bring you examples of this idea. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud. V'chitale al daitcho shemoshe yoshev v'don kol ayom. Do you think that Moshe Rabbeinu sat and judged cases the whole day? Toroso mosai na'aseis. When would his Torah be done? What do you mean, when would his Torah be done? Right? When would Moshe Rabbeinu have the chance to sit and be mechadesh chidushei Torah? That's what asiya means in that context. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu learned Torah at Har Sinai, the 40 days that he was up there. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't, you know, it's not like Moshe Rabbeinu came back from Har Sinai and said, Rabbosai, I know it all! I graduated! No need to do anything! No, Moshe Rabbeinu sat for the rest of the 40 years that he was leading Klal Yisrael, the rest of the 40 years that he was alive. And he worked on sugyas. Again, whatever that means in the context of Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't know exactly. But Moshe Rabbeinu sat and he learned. He was Mechadish Chidushei Torah. So that's what the Gemara refers to. Toroso Mosai Naaseis. When would his Torah be done? Meaning, when would he be making and creating through the element of Limud HaTorah? And he says, again, just keeping it going. Me'atun avol l'pirush hakosuv, asher yaseh osam ha'adam. You know, these chukim and mishpatim are things that a man can do. In other words, a person, even a nochri, can learn with such hasmada and such understanding that he can create chidushei Torah, right? V'chai bohem. Says the Netziv, what does it mean, v'chai bohem? Kfar nisfar b'sefer breishis perek beis, posuk zayin, v'chal mekomos. The chai pam perusha chai v'lomeis. Chai can mean life in the literal biological sense, but upa'am perusha chai b'shleimus v'lo b'shiflus hadas. But chayim can also mean that a person achieves shleimus, that he achieves perfection, right, and that he's elevated and not denigrated, right, and that's what it means over here. When you will learn and guard my chukim, my principles and my mishpatim, the laws that come out for them, and your osa osam, you immerse yourself in being mechadish chidushei Torah, v'chai bohem, you will achieve shleimus through that act, not just of learning, but the act of being mechadish chidushim brings man to his ultimate summit of spiritual perfection. Now, this is the credo of Volozhin, if you ever heard it. This is the credo of every single Litvish yeshiva. Not to exclude other types of yeshivas, but I mean, this was what the Netziv lived for. And he states it here in the Pasuk. What is the point of life? What is the ultimate shleimus of life? Not just Shmiras HaMitzvos, not even just learning, but being Mechadish Chidushei Torah. The idea that you are creative in your Limud HaTorah. This was the credo that powered, you know, generations of the Talmidim of the Netziv to this day. Asher Yasa Osam, when a person creates Chidushei Torah, V'chai Bohem. So he's going to be enlivened. He's going to reach his Shleimus
through the creation of those Chidushei Torah.
Two things. I don't know what it is, but Chachma B'Goyim Tam and
Torah B'Goyim Al Tam.
How did he learn that? Was saying that Goyim who learns Torah.
Right.
And also,
if I could just interrupt at that point, so I think that just means generally speaking, but you'll have that special, in other words, the nations as a whole lack that connection to Torah, but you'll have that special individual come along every once in a while who's able to connect the Torah in that way. Yeah.
Okay,
what's two?
Atem Kum Adam.
Right.
You're called Adam, but not the Umas Haolam, and I'm called Adam.
Right. Right. So I think Taisus over there. It's the Taisus beginning of Avodah Zarah as well as Sanhedrin. I think he asks that kash as well, and he gives Tevutzim to that. Yes, the Bali Taisus is right on both of those issues. So with this pshat in pasuk, which again introduces a different definition of chukim mishpatim than the one we're used to. But again, as the Nitziv points out, it's not his own definition of chukim mishpatim. He claims that there are Mamari Chazal that support this, this definition of Chukim and Mishpatim as principles and derivations, right? You know, as much as you have the Mishpatim V'Chukim, which is the classic way of understanding rational and non-rational laws, right? So he's claiming that it's all rooted in Chazal. The Nitziv is introducing a slightly different definition of Asiyah. Asiyah means to create. And creativity can mean intellectual creativity, not just, making something or doing something in the traditional sense of the term. And chiyus, being chai, means achieving a certain level of shleimus, not just a biological life. Along these lines, the Nitziv and the Hachiv Dover in Os Aleph, at the bottom of the page, gives a very beautiful pshat in a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. This week we're reading the third parak of Pirkei Avos. He gives a pshat. The fourth parak of Pirkei Avos. So if you remember it till next week, you can say this over. When you're learning the fourth parak. Balzak havarat tam maseches Avos parak dalit. Halomin al menas lelamed. If a person learns in order to teach, maspikim biyado lilmod lelamed. He'll be zoche to learn as well as to teach. Halomin al menas lasos. But if a person learns in order to do. So he'll be zocha to learn, to teach, to guard, and to do. So yes, the Nitziv, what are these two categories? I mean, the simple pshat is, the first guy learns in order to teach. The second guy learns in order to actually do the mitzvahs. So what's the first guy? We're talking about one of these, stereotypical maskilim. The guy who sat never he had to get a job teaching in a Hebrew school, right? So he sits there, he doesn't care about Shiras HaMitzvos. He's sitting, he's chazing over Masechet Shabbos on Shabbos with a cigarette, so that he can go to the Hebrew school and teach in the afternoon, and have what to say. That's Lomid Amanas Lilamid, as opposed to Lomid Amanas Lasos. The first guy is not being lomid amenas lasos. I mean, as the Nitziv puts it, I mean, hareza rasha gomer. What do you mean? He's not learning to do. He doesn't have an intention to follow the mitzvahs, right? So says, and he says, the Rav, the Tosfos Yalzer, the basic commentaries on Pirkei Avos is bothered by just the pashut pshat of the Mishnah. What does it mean that the second guy is lomid amenas lasos? The first guy is a little less. He's only lomid amenas lelamid. Right, he just needs a job. He just needs to say shir. But he doesn't really care about doing mitzvahs. I mean, chas v'shalom, what does that mean? So it says the Nitziv, with my definition over here of asiyah, you understand the Mishnah. The first guy is learning in order to give over. Right? What does the Gemara say? I want to know what the Gemara says so I can tell somebody else what the Gemara says. The second guy is learning in order la'asos to be mechadish chidushei Torah. Of course we're talking about from people. There's no question over here that we're talking about people who are learning with the intention of following the mitzvahs. That's a given. But there's learning in order to be able to give over what you learn. I need to know what the Chumash means so I can teach somebody what the Chumash means. And there's learning in order to be able to develop Chidushim within Torah. That's Al Menas La'asos. And that is a bigger bracha. Halomei avanas lasos. He'll be able to be lomei, ulilame, lishmar. In other words, he'll be able to, you know, have a greater holistic grasp of the Torah that he's learning. And lasos, he'll be able to be mechadish chidushim within the Torah that he's learning. Shoot for the heavens. That's what the Mishnah is saying according to the Nitziv. Don't just learn in order to be able to give over, you know, to touch the Pasuk and stay over the Pasuk. Learn with an eye toward being mechadish chidushim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you everything. You know, if you learn with that kind of lofty intention in mind.
That would be an example of that.
Of learning in order to find chidushim?
Yeah. Just what...
Anything? No. In other words, what do you mean by the question?
The simplest pasuk.
Go ahead.
Sorry, can you just give me an example?
There are chidushim waiting to be said in every single corner of Torah, right? So, in other words, if a person learns with open eyes, so he will always find, you know, new insights and novelties that he will be able to discover. So he writes again very beautifully. V'chein nusach ha'tfilo b'birkas Ava Rabba. We say this every morning, the Baruch of Ava Rabba. V'sein b'libeinu lilmod ulilameid lishmor v'la'asos ulikayim. What does that mean? So lilmod is to learn, lilameid is to teach, lishmor, he says, is to remember, right? In other words, we all suffer from this problem, right? In other words, you know, you can learn a lot of stuff, but do you remember what you learned? You know, not so pashut, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the kach hazikaron to remember what we learned. La'asos, to be mechadesh. And ulakayah means, you know, that we should be zoch on the simplest of levels, just to do the mitzvahs. We should learn about the mitzvahs, we should be zoch to do the mitzvahs. Right? That's what that, you know, this seeming repetition of various different verbs, which we say every day in the davening, is no repetition at all. Each one is a different aspect of our expression of Liman HaTorah. Why is it that, so now you have to ask the question, says the Nitziv. So why Davka here, you know, right before the Pasha of Arayos, does the Torah introduce this idea of being mechadish chidushei Torah? The next psukim are going to say ish ish al kosher er b'sar l'sikru v'l'galos erva. I mean, it's like such a transition. The Torah says sit and be ready to be mechadish chidushei Torah, you know, to come up with the most incredible chidushim. Oh, and by the way, don't sleep with your mother. What a strange transition. So Zoktin Nitziv, I'll tell you the pshat. Because you know what protects a person against arayas? Limud HaTorah. Not just Sam Limud HaTorah, but Limud HaTorah Ba'omek. When a person learns, and again, it's understandable on the most basic of levels, a person who's going to get involved in arayas has the tremendous, you know, drive churning inside of him. You know, it's that drive that, you know, pushes him to get involved in illicit relationships. If you can take that same drive and channel it into a permissible and encouraged activity, you know, take that creative drive and be mechadish chidushei Torah, you know, you won't have such a yitzhar for arayas. Take that same energy and direct and redirect it. So although, you know, the message that a person has to be mechadish chidushei Torah and be ma'amik in his learning is a message that permeates all of Torah, it's expressed in the Chumash, says the Nitziv, right before the Parsha of Arayas, because you need to hear this specifically in order to make sure that he's not going to fall into the trap of Arayas, as described in the you know, in the next part of the Chumash. Right? Again, a beautiful interpretation of the Pasuk and its placement over here.
The terminology that sublimate.
Right, exactly. And in psychological terms, you sublimate the Yisar. Right, yeah, exactly. Okay, very, very good. Just briefly, one more little knach, which I want to put in over here, and that's, you know, I mentioned that the Nitziv has an interesting mahalach in understanding Perek Yutes and Kedoshim. Again, the opening Perek of Kedoshim, which, as we know, is one of the most shock-full prokim in all of Chumash. Again, Rashi himself says this, Rov Gufei Torah Tzluyin Ba, right? You know, the majority of the basic principles of Torah are expressed in Parshas Kedoshim. And yet, when you look at the perek, it really seems to be a very interesting hodgepodge of different mitzvahs.
right? You know, Kibbur Avayim, Shabbos, Avodah Zarah, how you bring a carbon shlomo, right? You know, very, you know, Shivcha Harufa, you know, Peya, you know, Geneva. This is Parakites, you know, the opening parak of Kedoshim, right? So many different mitzvahs and so different from one another. I mean, we often think that Perek Yutes talks about, you know, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, that it's, you know, there's certainly a focus on Kedusha as attained through, you know, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, but there are plenty of mitzvahs Ben Adam L'Makom and plenty of mitzvahs which we wouldn't think are Gufei Torah, like the whole episode of Shivcha Harufa. I mean, seems like, you know, sort of far out. How often, even when they had shlachos, did they have a case of Shivcha Harufa? I mean, it, you know, doesn't seem like such a fundamental element of Torah. So it's still very beautifully, and again, you know, some of the examples work better with this. Some, I think, you have to work a little bit to make them work. But the Nesiv says, we've just got through speaking about Kemaisa Eretz Mitzrayim, which Yeshavtim Balosas. Don't follow the ways of Mitzrayim. Right? Don't follow the laws, the bylaws of Mitzrayim. So here he says we're being presented with the bylaws of the Jewish people. Not just important mitzvahs, but mitzvahs that are important from the perspective of society. What do we want in a society? So essentially any society, you know, any rulers of any society want to assure two things. Peace and prosperity. Right? Shalom and parnasa. We want people to, you know, we don't want, again, just, you know, unfortunately to reference recent events, we don't want bombs going off in our streets, right? You know, we want people to feel safe, and we want people to feel provided for. I mean, that's not unique to Jewish society. That's any society, any ruler of any society wants the people to feel safe, and, you know, he wants the people to feel fed, you know, that they should, you know, have a sense of prosperity. So if you look in Perek Yutes, about halfway through the Perek, after Pasuk Chof Beis, there's a Parsha Psucha, meaning that there's a new paragraph, and the Nesiv argues that that new paragraph is very significant. He argues that all of the mitzvahs in the first half of the Perek are meant to provide shalom. Now, clearly one way to provide shalom is a focus on mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveiro. Right? If people don't steal from one another, and they don't lie from one another, and they don't tell Lashon Hara, and they don't curse one another, you know, that's usually a good recipe towards creating shalom. But he says, even there are other parts of that, you know, other mitzvahs that are mentioned in that paragraph, which are also meant to create shalom. That's, for instance, why the Karban Shlomim is mentioned in that context, because the Karban Shlomim, as the name indicates, is all about creating shalom. You know, that's what the Nesiv developed in an earlier piece, that the Karban Shlomim is supposed to help us achieve the Midah of Chesed. Right? So its inclusion here, out of all of the Karbanos, is consistent with the theme of Shalom, which is over here. And he says that beginning with Pasuk Chaf Gimel, where it starts talking about Orla, so that is a focus on Parnasa. How do we bring Parnasa into our lives? One way is to dedicate the fruits of the field to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He brings a very simple idea about Orla, which he quotes from the Ramban. What's the pattern behind the idea of Orla? So he says very simply, Orla is a means to an end. The real point of Orla is the mitzvah of Revoy, the notion that in the fourth year we bring up the fruits of the tree to Yerushalayim and eat them there as a kind of a special, you know, dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In that sense, Revoy is like Bikurim, that we're bringing the first fruits to the Ribono Shelo. The only thing is, he says, when you plant the tree, you know, the fruit of the first 3 years is of inferior quality. So what? You got to bring the first fruit of the first year to the Ribono Shelo? It's like a joke. So you need to wait 3 years before you can get decent fruit. That's the fruit of the fourth year, the Revoy. So the Revoy has to be brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since you're not going to bring the fruit of the first 3 years to Hashem because it's inferior, but you're not going to use it for yourself because you can't satisfy yourself before you acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why there's a din of Arla. So says the Nitzir. Again, quoting the Ramban. So he says, if you go through all of these different psukim from Chaf Gimelan, the second half of the Perek, they're all mitzvahs that are meant to address the need for parnasa. They're all things
either naturally or supernaturally, that bring about parnassus. He says, for instance, that shatness is mentioned in that latter half of the parak. What's shatness got to do with parnassus? So he does, so he says, look, the you know, there's a there is a I'm sorry, shatness he has in the first part. So what shatness he says has to do with shalom. What does shatness have to do with shalom? Right, so he says, shatness means that you respect the natural order of the universe. Right, don't try to mix things together that are not meant to be mixed. If you respect the natural order of the universe, supernaturally that will result in shalom. Right, when you try to tamper with the natural order of the universe, right, so that supernaturally is going to lead to a lack of shalom. Right, so similarly also, I mean, again, he back in the second half of the parak, there's the mitzvah of Mimnei Seva Tokum, right, to show respect to elders. What's that got to do with Parnassus? So again, he says, well, the Zekanim daven on behalf of the people. If you want them to daven nicely on behalf of the people, you've got to respect them. Right? And when they daven nicely on behalf of the people, they bring Parnassus into the world. Now again, like I said, I mean, in each individual case, you may quibble with his application, but I mean, certainly he's trying to look at the parak in broad terms and to try to give some kind of structure as to why certain mitzvahs are mentioned, you know, as opposed to other ones. Okay, we'll pick up Es Hashem next week. I want to wish everybody a good Shabbos, and see you next week.